great.
Thank you.
Good job.
Thank you.
What, let's see if I can do this for that mic. Rich, if you guys would do that for me, just grab the TV and the remote. What are each one of the traditions? Number one, you know, our common welfare comes first. Number two, our group purpose and the only requirement. All of them are talking about one thing special. They're talking about sacrifice. Self-sacrifice for the good of the group, self-sacrifice for AA as a whole, and self-sacrifice for, you know, personal recovery. And Heather, you and Marissa might want to get out here. And if somebody could close those curtains over there. I've got a friend who does, personally, but he does 12 traditions every now and then. And he had something done well on the 12th tradition. And I'm really not technology qualified. I spent 3 hours with somebody the other day trying to get this set to this exact point where if I push a button, my friend will come on and talk to us about the 12th tradition. And I have no clue if it's going to work or not. But we're going to pray and hope. And pray and hope. And hope and pray. And pray and hope that Bill W. shows up and talks about the 12th tradition. Let's see.
To our society, we have been talking very much in terms of simply avoiding calamity by taking prudent and unusual means and courses to do so. So now the question is posed by the listener, is there no more constructive or spiritual content to our traditions than simply the sum of our fears and anxieties and our efforts to protect ourselves from untoward evils and circumstances? Well, there certainly is. And all of these traditions have in them the elements of sacrifice. Sacrifice either by groups or by AA members. As we look back here, the common welfare tradition. People used to say, well, the drunk, he's the important guy. Well, surely he is. But how is he going to get well in any number if there is no fellowship? Therefore, the common welfare has to come first, and our individual welfare second. Likewise, we who have been prone to power driving have to yield to the idea that we may be instructed by the group conscience. We have thrown aside all ambition to be prominent in the alcohol field as a society. Our members go into these fields as individual citizens, and there they should be. But the society says, no, we will cleave to a single purpose. We have sacrificed the opportunity of raising very large sums of money for this society and for others by adopting the tradition declining outside contributions. Those of us who had special ambitions to be professional workers, I don't mean service workers in an office, I mean face-to-face therapy for pay. These are legitimate ambitions, but not good enough. A professional class in AA might even lead to our destruction and certainly to our compromise. So professionalism out is out. Those of us who are power-ridden would like to unconsciously, perhaps, and sometimes consciously, be more or less permanent governors of the destinies of AA. But now we see that our strength lies in letting go when our time comes. And this I recognize in myself. My time time came some time ago, and our affairs have been under the management of our trustees almost without interference by me for these several years. And that's how it should be. But it represents a giving up, the sacrifice of ambitions, many of which would be legitimate in the world around us, all in the interest not only of the survival, but in the effectiveness and the joyousness of the life that we find in it and cherish so much. In our public relations, we have run contrary to all experience in the modern world. In the modern world, everything is proceeding upon the merits or demerits of highly publicized things. Everything was working in terms of friction and controversy. Everything is working in terms of haves and have-nots, of large sums of money being transferred from one class to another. We do not decry these developments. We say that for our particular purpose they're perilous. And so we think that it would be prudent to leave them alone. So there is a sacrificial quality that we do not conform to our traditions merely because we must to avoid personal calamity. We defer to these traditions because they seem right in principle and because we actually want them for ourselves. And while other courses might be good, for us this would be the best. In our case, the good could be very often the actual enemy of the best. Now then, I'd like to tell you a final anecdote, which is a bit self-serving. I've had a certain amount of reluctance to speak about it. But I would like to draw attention to the fact that Dr. Bob and I began to recognize in the late 1940s that we had a special responsibility to set an example in the matter of the anonymity. The conformity with anonymity was not merely a compliance with the injunction that we should not have our full names and pictures published throughout the world. It was more than an avoidance of our names being made public. That it would extend also to the acceptance of special distinguishment and honors. This came up, and this sort of conversation between Dr. Bob and I began toward nearly the close of his life. He was fatally afflicted. This is well known. I was back and forth between here and Akron a great deal. He was, however, much up and around much of the time. And on this day, we sat talking, and he said, "You know, I want to show you something, something that moves me very much in a way, and something, of course, which to me, I wouldn't say so to the would-be donors, has a sort of a comical aspect. And anyway, let me get your reaction." So he came and spread out on the floor a blueprint, which was a drawing of a medium-sized mausoleum in which he and Anne could repose when they were over the hill. And Dr. Bob looked at me and told about some of the people coming up and thinking that this sort of thing was needed because this occurred with other celebrated people and so forth. And of course, he had declined. And he turned to me, and with that priceless grin of his, said, "Bill, I think you and I ought to get buried like other folks." Well, this set us thinking. Did we have some further obligation to this tradition of anonymity? And up to this point, there had been little nibbles. He had some, I had some. Lesser universities, smaller ones that offered degrees of various kinds. And, well, we'd kind of turned those down as a matter of course. But then we began to think, doesn't the tradition extend to this public honor business? Doesn't it extend to the acceptance of no rewards, even posthumous? And then Dr. Brown died, and he and Anne were then buried like other folks. She had been for a time. And pretty soon, a new set of temptations began to develop with me. Time Magazine, some years ago, asked for a number of us to come over from the office. And I was included, of course. And they took us upstairs for a long, long lunch. And these people were top figures over there. And they listened to the AA story. And they said, "Well, now we've given you folks good treatment, and we propose to keep it up. But now we would like, Bill, to have a biographical sketch of you, and we would like to make this a cover page. And let us tell you, before you say no, that if you make it a cover story, if we make this a cover story, it will enormously increase the impact of the piece, a dozen times maybe, over what the same piece without the cover would. And that our circulation is something like 12 million. Now, we would like to do the story of AA hung on a biographical sketch of you." And I said, "About the anonymity." "Oh, no, we're quite aware of that. We'll agree to keep that. You just have your head turned away from the camera. It'd be hardly a side view. That ball might show a little, but we'll stay within the rules and regulations." Well, I must confess that this proposal was a puzzler. I can honestly say that I didn't feel especially or personally tempted by the lure of a flesh and blood biographical account of myself. It didn't seem right that I should cooperate in such an effort. As for the anonymity, yes, they'd keep that, but then I began to wonder what the effect would be on the future. If I began giving sketches of this sort of myself to public media, even with my head turned, once Papa was out of the way and gone west, wouldn't other people say, "Well, the old man almost did it, so I'll give him my biography in full face on from here out." In other words, it would open the door subtly to car-driving people of the future, people just like me. Now, this was very hard to decline because declinations meant the death of some, and it meant the prolonged illness of others. The impact of this thing could have been enormous and brought in great numbers of people. So the saying no was something to keep awake nights about, and I did. I hope and believe that this was the right decision for AA's future. But again, for a long time, the specters of the people who died and those who might have recovered earlier has continued to haunt me. It was a question of making an estimate whether the nearby advantage of this would be of more value to more people than the advantage of an example that would include the acceptance of public honors in the AA Anonymity tradition. And I have opted for the latter choice. It is the best that I can do. I leave it to you and to the future for whatever it may be worth. So, in conclusion, dear folks, a thousand thanks for sitting with me and to the camera crowd out there. And, dear people, at great distances, please have my warmest affection and gratitude. And may God bless you and Alcoholics Anonymous forever.
That's the man who did the 12th tradition. Let me read you the long form. And finally, we of Alcoholics Anonymous believe that the principle of anonymity has an immense spiritual significance. It reminds us that we are to place principles before personalities, that we are actually to practice a genuine humility. To the end, that our great blessings may never spoil us, that we shall forever live in thankful contemplation of Him who presides over us all.
Amen.
And we're really glad you all came. If you want to just stand where we are, we're going to say the Lord's Prayer and end the meeting. We don't have to circle up or hold hands. We're just going to stand where we are, how they did in the old days. And the Lord, you didn't have to leave. In the Lord's Prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, forever and ever. Amen. Thank you all for coming. Hope you learned something.